Okay, good morning, everyone. We are learning Melachim Aleph. We are in the sixth parak. We're on page 60. This very well may be the fifth week learning this parak. And coming to a close, we were learning at length last time about how Shlomo made the Kruvim, and how we discussed in the various commentators in English and different Mefarshim, how these were a little bit different, or a lot different, than the ones that we're familiar with in the Torah, which were on the actual Aron, in the Mishkan, in the Tabernacle. So now we're going to continue discussing more about the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, and let's begin with Pasuk Lamed, okay? Page 60. Okay. This Karka Habayis Sipa Zahav. So we're going to find that he beautified the Beis HaMikdash. And he took, although much of the Beis HaMikdash was made out of cedar wood, as we said, but he ended up covering all of the different things, including the Karka, the very floor of the ground of the Beis HaMikdash, with gold. L'pnima v'lachitzayin. He did this on for the inner, as it's translated here, the inner chamber, as well as the outer chamber. So we mentioned that Shlomo clearly spared no expense when it came to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we're going to be seeing shortly that when it came to his own palace, maybe you would think that he also spared no expense. Now, of course, Shlomo wasn't just building this based on his own feelings. He had to have specific instructions exactly how it was done. And as we mentioned last time, what Shlomo did was he looked at the Mishkan, and it was a miniature Beis HaMikdash. So he'd made a lot of things to scale exactly how it was done in the times when the Jewish people were in the Midbar, the wilderness. So Pasuk Lamed Aleph tells us, V'eis Pesach HaDvir. When it came to the entrance of the Dvir, which, as all the way back, we have a picture exactly where, what is this Dvir. So you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is on page 51. You have a picture of exactly what it looked like and the dimensions, which we already went through. So when it came to the entrance of that place, Asa Dalsos Atzi Shemen, he made the doors out of wood of Shemen of olive, or more specifically of olive oil. Right? So Ha'ayel Mezuzos Chamishas. And it doesn't really describe the reason why it was done this way, but the frame had five sides. Even though we're going to see most of the frames was four sides, which is more of a pentagon shape. What's more unusual about this is that when it came to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, something which a person only entered on Yom Kippur, it was not a common occurrence, only the Kohen Gadol. Yet he built a special door for this location, which also, perhaps on the other level, makes more sense to really separate it so that no one would just simply walk in it if there was no door. Shtei dalsos atzi shemen, and he had two doors that were made out of this olive wood. V'kolehem miklos kruvim, and he made different designs engraved in them. He made the kruvim, which we said were pictures of either children or that of image of a man. The simros upituri tzitzim, and these different trees or blossoming flowers. The sipa zahav, and he took gold and he covered up this area with gold. And we said that the significance of these things, you have the children, which has to do with renewal, you're starting over. A person goes to the Beis HaMikdash, even though a person did averos, always have the opportunity to change and to improve oneself. And similarly, when it comes to the blossoming flowers, you look at the winter and you think everything's gone. And then you see that the flowers begin to bloom again, which again is the significance of what the Beis HaMikdash does, is it causes a person to be able to change and to improve. Then the Pasuk continues and says, V'yored al ha'kruvim v'yal ha'timoros es ha'zahav. And then he took this gold, and he pressed this gold over the kruvim and over the timoros, which literally is date palms, or just translate here as palms. So he put Tamar, right, which is like a date. Okay. V'chein also l'Pesach, and so he did. Now, actually, I skipped over one part, which if you look in the English on page 61, it's interesting that in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 30-31, you'll see it says, V'eis Pesach u'shtei dalsos. So you have the conjunction over here. You have the letter Vav, and. So if you look at where it says 32, the word and implies that our verse speaks of two more doors to the inner sanctum, in addition to the two in verse 31, for a total of four doors. Such a double set of doors is found in the plan for the third Beis HaMikdash. After opening the first set of doors, one would come to a second set of doors. So that's how some people explain these psukim that we read, that you had Pasuk Lamed Aleph that says, V'eis Pesach, and also there were doors, Ushtei Dalsos, and two doors. So the fact that it mentions it in this way implies that perhaps there was more than one set of double doors. That's one interpretation. Not everyone agrees to this, but that's how some people explain it. Okay, moving on, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. V'chein also Pesach ha-hechel mezuzos atzei shomen me'eis revius. So it says that this was the same thing he did when it came to the other Pesach, the entrance to get to the Heichal, which is not the Devir, the Kodesh Kodashim, but the Heichal is the sanctuary, also known as the Kodesh, which is the outer room. He also made these doorposts, or these doors, out of Atzi Shemen, out of olive wood, Me'es, Revis, but this time he used four sides, which, again, it's the question why it was done that way. It's not so clear why one was five, one was four. Perhaps, again, maybe having a little bit of a different design is a way to make a distinction between the Kodesh HaKodashim and all other doors, so the person will recognize and think there's something unusual about it, and perhaps they'd be more reserved and a little more concerned about entering into such an area. So maybe that was almost like something of a warning by having a door of with five sides as opposed to being four-sided, which is the typical fashion. Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Ushtei dalsos atzei bereishim. He said there are two doors that, instead of using the wood that we were using before, the atzei shemen, here we have the atzei bereishim, which were cypress wood. Ushnei tzoloim hadalos achas galilim, ushnei koloim hadalos hashenis galilim. So it's translated here with two rounded hinges for the one door and two rounded hinges for the second door. So it's as though the doors would be able to go back and forth on both sides and opposite sides. Bikola keruvim besimros beturit tzitzim, and as one could imagine, he did the exact same thing when it came to these doors, that he also engraved them with these different designs of the children and all the different the palms and the blossoming flowers, v'sipa zahav miyushar al hamachuka, and he covered them again with gold, and as is translated here, which was flattened over the engraved designs. So basically he didn't just take the wood, but he covered it, made beautiful designs by the wood, and then he covered it up so that you saw gold, but you also saw the different pictures in the different places in the Beis HaMikdash. So again, these are ways to inspire a person. Even as Hachatzer HaPanimus Shloisha Turi Gozes, that when he built the courtyard, which the Hachatzer HaPanimus, which I believe is also found in this picture in 51, right? We have a Hachatzer, we have the, maybe not. Okay, we have the outer courtyard. Right, so let's see what it discusses here. You have the Hachatzer HaPanimus, you have the inner courtyard, Shloisha Turi Gozes, three rows, Turei, as Mesudas Siyam translates as Shoros rows, Gozes, and they were cut stone, the Tur Kurusos Arazim, and there was also a row in which had this wood out of cedar. Bishana Haravias Yusad Beis Hashem Beyerf Ziv. So now, after we discussed a little bit about the building of the Beis HaMikdash, when exactly was the foundation and all these other parts finished? So it was Bereshit Revius, it was on the fourth year that he built this B'yerch Ziv. In what month? The month of Ziv. Well, what month is that? That's a good question. That doesn't really help us. It's don't know such a calendar. Yeah, what exactly does this mean? So clearly, this is probably because the months that we're familiar with didn't exist during that time. Right? We weren't people didn't call the months as we call them.
But it, Rishon,
right, that's the Torah doesn't. The Torah just calls it month number one, number two. But if you go all the way back to page 50, on I guess the very first Rashi, or the top Rashi on page 50, the first line. Tells us when Chodesh Ziv was. That was the time which he began the construction. And if you look in Rashi, again, all the way based back on page 50, Hu'iyar, which happens to be the month that we're currently in. Right? The East Bay, so what's so great about the month of Iyar that we're in, other than it's Yom HaTzma'ot? The East Bay Ziva Leiloini says because this is a time in which the trees begin to blossom. Okay? So why is that so significant? So we explained that perhaps it was just a logical time to start building. You don't want to build in the middle of winter. So when you see people starting to build, people are doing construction, you have landscaping in people's homes, whatever, it's during this time. People are doing it now. And therefore, that's the time which he began building. And also going now back to the end of the parak, that when he was building this Yusad Hashem, this foundation, it was also B'yarch Ziv, it was also in the month of Iyar. Okay.
And it also says here in that Pasuk that B'chodesh Ziv hu B'chodesh Hashemi. Nisan Iyar.
Right.
Also in the English translation, right. It says Solomon chose to begin the work then because the rainy season was over and the water was dry.
Yeah, so it's a logical time in which a person should be involved in building. Now, you're right. So in the beginning of our parak, when it says Chodesh Ziv, it tells us when that is. You're right, Chodesh Hasheni. Here, it doesn't do that. Here, it doesn't mention any of these things, because I guess we already know that from the first pasuk, right? So therefore, it's not necessary to repeat everything again. That's why Rashi doesn't really help us out over here, because it's hoping that we remembered it from, well, 2 months ago.
But he does repeat himself a lot. Like,
that's true. And this would have been a good time to repeat it, but fortunately we remember where that was. Okay, so let's continue. So how long did all this business take, and when did he finish? So Vashana Ha'achas Esrei, during the 11th year, B'yerech Bul, in another interesting month called Bul, Hu HaChodesh Hashmini, here it does define it, because we don't know what that is. We've never heard of that term before. This is referring to the 8th month. Kol HaBayis, so the Beis HaMikdash was all finished, was complete. B'chol Devarav, B'chol Mishpatav, according to all the words, all the instructions, everything that was supposed to have been done. Yenehu Sheva Shanim. And how long did it take him to build this? It took him Sheva Shanim, 7 years. Or in the English says, he built it over 7 years. Which questions, did he stop? What was he doing? So we'll see that shortly. But what is exactly this whole notion of Yerech Bul? When is this month? So if we look at the Radak over here, which is the fourth wide line, when exactly is B'Yerech Bul? So again, one way of doing this is we could use our fingers and count from Nisan, which is the first month, to get to when is the 8th month, which is what the Pasuk says it was. So you can figure it out. You have Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, and then after Elul is Tishrei, and then the 8th one is Cheshvan. So that's what the Radak helps us out with, instead of just figuring it out ourselves. B'yerech Bul hu mar Cheshvan. Kamoshi Omar Hu HaChodesh Hashmini. After all, it says it's the 8th month. So why is it called Bul? Where did that name come from? V'nikra kein mipnei ha-gushamim shemaschilin bo inyan mabul. He says that when it comes to this month, this is the time in which is the beginning of the rainy season. And therefore, if it rains a lot, then it looks like it's a flood. Everything's going to be flooding, right? So therefore, it's a time in which it's the rain, so it's called bul, which we remind ourselves of mabul, which, of course, was a lot of water. If a divrei razal, according to our Rabbi Sein, who's a kohen brach, our rabbi's a blessed memory, b'yerech bul, why is it called this month? Bul, mar cheshvan, shebo ha'olan novel. It's a time in which the leaves begin to dry up. So bul comes from the word dry up.
It's the arts,
it means it's like, it has to do with like the fall. It's
right.
It's the time which the leaves are falling, it's autumn.
The mabul,
right, right, exactly. One is dry, one is
right.
Wet. It's true. But they both happen, they're in the same season. It's the autumn. The aretz asui bolos bolos, and the ground becomes like piles and piles. Piles of leaves. This is a time in which animals will begin to be boiling. We'll see what that means in a second. In the house, it's the time in which the food of animals is gathered up and completed from the fields, which basically means that it's a time which is getting colder, so you bring your animals inside because it's a colder time of month. If you look in the English, he explains this a little bit, some of the things that we already said, but on page 63 it says, Bul is the Hebrew name for the month of Mar Cheshvan, which is its Babylonian name. So obviously that's the reason why Shlomo HaMelech didn't know the word Mar Cheshvan, because it was obviously this happened way before we were in Bavel. According to Rashi, which we didn't see, he says the name Bul comes from the fact that the vegetation in the field begins to wither. Okay. Because the rainy season begins then, and farmers must begin to compound or mix their own fodder, for the livestock that can no longer graze in the fields. Okay, according to the Radak, the name comes from the fact that Mar Cheshvan is the month when the heavy rains began to fall. So that's how that's basically what we said. It's brought down furthermore that if in fact it's connected to the Mabul, then it shouldn't be called Bul, it should be called the month of Mabul. Why is it called Bul, which is missing the letter Mem? So this is not in front of us, so I wanted to share this with you. It says, we know that Mem has the gematria, the numerical value of 40. So he says, She'afal pi shenishma kadosh baruch hu, even though God did swear, shel yavo od Mabul olam, that the world would never have another flood, afal pi kein, nonetheless, this is brought down the Yavosh Shmoni, there's 40 days in the year in which there's a tremendous, tremendous amount of rain. Whether it's like that in all places, but this is what he says. Once Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, those 40 days stopped. Therefore, it's written, missing the Mem, opposite the 40 days in which the rain stopped. Well, what exactly does that mean? It means that it doesn't mean necessarily that it rained for 40 days to the point that it was almost going to be a flood, but the message is that Hashem destroyed the world because he was upset at what we were doing, and therefore he felt that he had to bring about a flood. So even though he promised that he would not bring another flood, the truth is people still do things which aren't so perfect. And on some level, Hashem felt, on some level, that the world would really deserve on some level to be destroyed because of our actions. But he just has to hold himself back. But once the Beis HaMikdash has been built, in which brings Klai, so the Jewish people together, to be able to do the mitzvot and to be better people, so no longer does Hashem have this reason to have to bring about any type of flood water at all. So that's how some people interpret what exactly that means. Now, another point which the Radak mentions is it mentions how many years it took for him to build the Beis HaMikdash. So if we look back in the Radak, which is five lines from the bottom, the Radak tells us that he built it, in the last words of the Pasuk, v'yivnehu sheva shanim, that it took him 7 years to build the Beis HaMikdash. V'sheva shanim, v'yachar she'omar v'shana achas esrei. Then afterwards it says that he built it in the 11th year. That's when it was completed. Kol habayis. So the Radak asks a very obvious question. The question is, we all know how to add or subtract. Mahe Sarach Lomar, why does the Pasuk need to say, V'yivnehu sheva shanim, that it took him 7 years to build this. And in other words, we know that he began building it in the fourth year. The Pasuk says explicitly that he completed it in the 11th year. So why does the Pasuk need to say, oh, by the way, it took him 7 years to build it? Obviously, it started in year 4, finished in year 11, took him 7 years. So the Radak makes, even though it sounds like a pretty strong question, he says that there's an obvious answer to this. Shloi Tomar, that no person should think and say, just Atzel, when time may have been young, that you maybe think that in the interim, maybe he was lazy, so to speak, to build it. Or in other words, he may have had other things that he was involved in, and therefore he had to sometimes put this construction project on hold. He really built a couple years, he stopped for a few months and started again. That's what you would maybe think. That we should know that he spent all 7 years between years 4 and 11 building. This was his priority number one. This is what he was focused on doing. And he didn't stop at any point. Okay, so that's what the Pasuk says, that it took him, in fact, this amount of time. And we're going to see, as we're going to see in a moment, the next parak, that this is going to be in contrast to what he did when it came to his house. The next, we're going to see that when it came to Shlomo's house being built, the Pasuk is going to say in the next verse, Pasuk Aleph, what we'll actually see it with our new packet, even though it's the same page, it says that when he built his house, it says that it was Shol Shesri Shana. It was 13 years, right? So it took him more time to build his house than the Beis HaMikdash. So as we're going to see in the Mefarshim again, but one could be led to believe that this was a major mistake. What happened? He built the Beis HaMikdash only for 7 years. But when it came to his own kavod, for his own honor, so what does he do? He spent 13 years, almost twice as much time building his own house. So as we're going to see, that it's actually not a negative, but it's a positive. That as we just saw in this Radak, that the reality is, those 7 years when it came to the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo built that without any hesitation, without stopping. However, because it was not as important, his own house, therefore it took him more time to have it constructed. And therefore, the fact that it took him more time to build his house over the Beis HaMikdash actually shows that he prioritized the Beis HaMikdash over his own dwelling place. And now you have a problem with it.
I have a problem.
How did I guess?
The problem. The Aron. Did he
rebuild
the Aron?
The Aron, no.
Then why did he rebuild the Korvim?
And totally differently.
The Korvim where Hashem pointed someone specifically
right.
to be able to build it. The Ruach HaKodesh was on him and he built it to specification.
Right.
Why is he now changing the specification and on the Aron? How do those two Korvim sit on the Aron?
They didn't sit on the ground.
But that's what I'm saying.
He must have had Ruach
HaKodesh. Yeah, the answer has to be he didn't do it on his own. The answer has to be he didn't do it on his own, or else he would have been punished for having done so. And therefore, we don't find that he did anything wrong. Nowhere in the
Pesukim. That's what I'm having a problem with.
Why? What's the problem?
He changed the original.
Well, in the original, there were Kruvim on the Aron. He didn't remove them.
These were additional Kruvim.
But where does it say that? I asked
you that
last week. I didn't seem to find it.
In this book.
If you look in the English on page 59,
I'm just telling you. English is not our language.
No, it's not a question.
So we'll translate it to you in Hebrew.
Whoever translates.
She knows English very well.
Rachel, I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to read a couple sentences in English. Okay? So on page 59, in the middle on the right column, it says... Solomon added two more Kruvim, which were different from those of Moshe in several ways. Right? And whatever the differences are, That doesn't matter. The point is that he didn't replace Moshe's Kruvim,
okay.
But he added another set of Kruvim, which were much, much larger.
It doesn't say it in the text.
That's
right?
What I mean.
The idea is this parak is not talking about what he brought from point A to point B and stuck into the base of Mikdash. This is talking about the actual construction. So therefore, the only Kruvim that will be mentioned in this chapter are things that he built.
The additions.
The things that he himself did. Anything that preexisted, so it doesn't need to mention it. We know that the Aron was there, and above the Aron was the Kaparis, above that were the miniature cherubs. That we know, because that already existed.
Okay. This is what he brought to the table.
Okay. I wanted to make sure that
David.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything that he did in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash had to have been to the point exactly as he was told. Okay? And therefore that we have to take for